Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey everyone, Megan here for episode 2 in our special holiday read aloud series. Sarah and I all week are reading aloud essays and blog posts that we've written about the holidays over the years, and they're little short episodes. We're doing 5 this week instead of just one longer episode, and we hope you enjoy this little change of pace for your holiday season. Today I'm reading an essay that's a little bit sensitive if you have believers in your house, and I know you know what that means, so I will give you a moment to figure out if you want to let this play, if you have kids around, or if you maybe want to, you know, I'll give you a few seconds and you can escort them out of the room. I don't know. So there's nothing in here that's really shocking or anything, but I just want to make sure that everyone has a chance to take care of their kids, whatever level they're at or wherever beliefs they're at. And what this is all about is my kids. My oldest is 18 now. My youngest is 6, and I'm kind of running out of believers. My youngest might be the only one. I have a couple older kids who profess to believe, but I'm not sure I believe them. They believe. I think they may be just saying that for the sake of the family, which is great. But this is kind of how it's really progressed and evolved in our house and my personal feelings about, you know, having a whole house load of kids who were all little kids, who all were believers. And then, you know, though they've gotten older and now I'm kind of just left with one. So this story ran in the Washington Post a year ago. It's called Believing in Santa for Now. I've never had much of an opinion, one way or the other, about whether my kids should believe in Santa. We've always played along with the story in our house, but our 4 older kids, all sons, have believed to varying ages. The oldest 2 boys, now 16 and 14, gave it up by the 2nd grade or so, while my 2nd 2, now 10 and 8, still claim to believe but have begun to make it clear it's all for show. The way I've always seen it, Santa is about the experience a child needs during the holiday, not the parents. If a child really wants to believe, she'll cling to the Saint Nick story till the bitter end, pretending she really didn't see those toys marked "from Santa" in the back of the minivan that one night Mom and Dad went shopping alone, and convincing herself to believe lame excuses like, "Oh, Santa asked for our help picking this one out," when parents made a faux pas. I know, because I've been that kid. And in my experience with my 4 boys, kids who don't care as much, whose childlike belief in the magic of the holiday isn't tied up in this one particular aspect of it, seem to give up that belief readily and without much fuss, letting themselves be easily convinced by a more cynical friend, or noticing with eyes unclouded by sentiment that the Santa wrapping paper has been in a Target bag in the hall closet for the last month. So when the yearly, "Should you tell your kids about Santa, or is the whole thing a huge disillusionment-inducing way to lie to your kids?" debate rages, I've mostly stayed on the sidelines. After all, I've never jumped through any crazy hoops to extend my kids' beliefs, or done much at all except go along with whatever they seem to feel about the jolly old elf. As a Santa-neutral mom, I've always felt I was safe from judgment and not particularly interested in joining the fray. But my 5-year-old daughter Clara, I fear, is about to throw a wrench into this whole theory. Clara is imaginative. She loves fairies and fantasy and magic and play pretend. Clara asks a lot of questions and seems to notice everything, remembering with awe-inspiring clarity that one offhand comment I made about maybe getting ice cream next week, or the fact that she asked for a particular littlest pet shop raccoon 6 months before her birthday. Of course, I got the squirrel instead. Seriously, they all look the same to me. Maybe it won't be this year, maybe it won't be next year, but soon, and with a persistence and inquisitiveness that will surely try everyone's patience, I know this to be true. Clara is going to start asking tough questions about the man in the red suit, and I just don't know how I'm going to handle it. After all, Clara is the baby of the family, the youngest of 5. She represents the fleetingness of childhood and has marked my final opportunities to experience the holidays through the eyes of a baby, a toddler, and now a little girl. And this year, along with the warm buzz that always accompanies my favorite holiday, I feel an underlying sense of dread. Will this be the last year she believes? Next year? Or the year after that? Whenever it happens, a day of truth is coming, and I don't feel nearly as nonchalant about it as I did with the boys. When you have a number of small children in the home, it can feel like you have all the time in the world for make-believe and magic. But as it turns out, the number of firsts and lasts, of holidays under one roof, of the times you'll string popcorn or cut out cookies, of the times you'll wrap a gift and scrawl Santa in the from line on the tag, are painfully limited whether you have one child or 10. I spent years longing to get to that light at the end of the tunnel, the time when all of my kids would be bigger, more self-sufficient, when life would feel more orderly, when I'd have more time for myself. And I'm glad to be here. Still, Santa, like baby dolls and board books, Lego and little shoes, is just one more symbol of a chapter firmly closing. It's magic and mystery tightly caught between the pages. Once it's closed, I can go back and reread, but I can't ever live it again. And Clara's eventual evolution from belief to understanding will mark the definite end of an era. In my imagination, I see myself clinging to Clara's belief with all sorts of sitcom-worthy hijinks, stomping loudly around the roof at Christmas Eve, shaking bells loudly near her window, hiring a stout actor to be caught placing presents under the tree in a carefully staged hoax. In reality, though, I will probably treat her waning belief the same way I've handled it with the other kids. At first, I'll answer their questions with, "What do you think?" Then stalling, and then finally, when the truth can no longer be delayed or camouflaged, coming out with it as gently as I can. But somewhere, something inside me will wilt a little at the admission, the white flag surrender to children growing up and growing older, moving on, and eventually moving out. I'll wish for a time when I could casually hold their belief in my palms, shaping and embellishing at will. And if I have to be honest, I'll likely shed more than a few tears for the enlightenment of the last believer. Oh, gosh, you guys, that kind of made me cry a little bit. I hope you are enjoying my series and Sarah's series. Here we are reading holiday-themed essays and blog posts that we've written all week long. So we'll be doing this every day until Friday, through Friday. And that's in place of our regular podcast this week. We're going to be taking next week off. You can find the show notes with the actual text to each of these essays at themomhour.com. Just go to the episode you're looking for, and it's under holiday special. You can find it pretty easily there. Happy holidays, and we will be back with regular episodes soon.